Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If you wanted to establish a kingdom that would last for many years, perhaps forever, what kind of men would you choose as the principal leaders? Would you prefer to have the educated, the powerful, and the very rich? What would you think of choosing a bunch of fishermen, a hated tax collector, and other unknown and powerless individuals? The great Old Testament prophet provides insight into God's actions in choosing the apostles and other disciples of Christ. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Do the words of Isaiah help us to understand why Paul would write, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised. Yea, has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. When Paul affirms that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or to put to shame the wise, he was not affirming that anything God does is foolish, but by the world standards, what God has done in providing for man's eternal welfare appears to the world to be foolish. After all, of what value is a dead Savior? Preaching Christ crucified is a scandal to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24. The wisest accomplishments of men are utter foolishness compared to God's gracious provisions for our salvation. The expression, "the weak things of the world," can refer to the church that God designed to preach the gospel and to spread his kingdom to the entire world. God does not depend on armies of men to overcome Satan and his kingdom. Instead, he uses the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The Old Testament furnishes many examples of what men would call God's weaknesses. Who would send forth a teenage boy to fight the mighty Goliath? How could marching around the walls of Jericho and blowing trumpets win a battle? In a very real sense, man's weakness provides a wonderful opportunity for God to show his strength. Do you remember what God told Paul when Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn to be removed from his flesh? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12:9. God also chose the base things of the world, and the things that are despised has God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. In verse 26 of this chapter, Paul affirmed, "Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." The word "noble," eugenes in Greek, means high-born. The word "base" in verse 28 is the very opposite of the word "noble." The Greek "agene" means of low birth. Was Paul thinking of Jesus Christ when he used the word "base"? After all, Jesus was not born and reared in places that were world-famous. When Philip found Nathanael and told him that Jesus was the Messiah of whom the prophets had written, Nathanael asked, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" John 1:44-45. Thank you, and may God bless you.